Number one, the number one love of God is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says so right there. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does, and He'll show Him greater works than these that you may marvel. Now that says right there, the Father loves the Son. Okay? Very important. Now, let's look at John 16:27. John 16:27, and I'm going to get into what God's love is. John 16:27. All right. For the Father Himself loves you. You ought to put your name there. For the Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me, that's Jesus, and have believed that I came from God. Now, we find out the Father loves the Son. If you're particularly if you're one of His, the Father loves you. He loves everybody in general, but the Father loves you. Okay. That doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven. Some people would like to think that. Now, the God kind of love is not built on phileo love or emotional love. It's built on a word called agape. And there's different versions of that word. But the word is agape, and it is different from an emotional type of love. It's built on something called agape love, and it is not an emotional love. It is a willful decision to love somebody. It has nothing to do with emotions whatsoever. It's a willful decision to love somebody. It's making a choice to love somebody. So they get in this thing about in the abortion issue, whether you're for choice or whatever. I'm for choice because if you choose, it's a form of love. And I'll tell you, taking a baby's life in the womb is not love. It's not love. It's not of God. God has nothing to do with that whatsoever. But agape love is not an emotional love. It is a willful decision. So, I want to show you where God did that. John 15:16. One of my friend Bob Graham's favorite verses. John 15:16. You have not chosen Me. That's what, this is God speaking. You didn't choose Me. I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in My name, He may give it unto you. God made a willful decision to love you before He created anything. Had nothing to do with emotion. You didn't even exist yet. He chose to do it. He made a decision. This love does not come from within us, but it comes from God. Now, the only way you can get this kind of love is from God Himself. He has to pour it into you. You cannot have this kind of love until you have Christ. When you make a decision, a willful decision to receive Jesus, and it doesn't have to be an emotional love, you just make a decision to do it. If you really love somebody, emotions have nothing to do with it, and circumstances have nothing to do with it. If you love somebody, you love them, period, forever. And that's what God did. He loved us forever. Now, does that mean everybody's going to heaven? No. The other part of it is you have to make a willful decision to love Christ. when those two willful decisions come together, they are locked together for eternity. Now, this is no reflection on anybody whatsoever, but I'm just saying that's the way marriage is supposed to be. The reason is because it's supposed to be a picture of our relationship to Christ. Now, obviously, we can break the marriage bonds, we can break the marriage, we can divorce, we can do these things, and we can remarry, and we can do all kinds of things. And that's not my subject today. But the issue is, if you love somebody, you are going to be connected to them the rest of your life, and emotions they come afterwards. They should come afterwards. You make the decision, then the emotions follow. When you receive Christ, it might be a very emotional experience, or it may not be. But the issue is that you have decided to do what God's already done, and that you make a willful decision to love Him, and He's already loved you, so that locks you together forever. Because the love of God, which is locked together with a human being, can never, 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 never be broken. Because it's held together by God. He has a love for you, and at times it's emotional. If you look at the life of Jesus, you will see at times He made decisions that seemed to the disciples to be very, very harsh. But He made them because of His agape love, and in the long run, it was going to come out better. One of the decisions He made in agape love was that He would go to the cross, He would die and be buried and rise again on the third day. To the disciples, that seemed very harsh. How could a loving God do that to His Son? You see. How is it possible that this could happen to the Messiah, the Son of God? It was possible because God had already made a decision in eternity past, and Jesus Christ had willfully said, "Yes, I will do it," and they did it out of agape love. And so that's what a decision for Christ has to be. It has to be a willful decision, an eternal decision, a decision that you want to be with Christ forever. And it is so binding that God already has prepared a place for you at the marriage of the Lamb in heaven if you know Jesus Christ, because you're going to be married to Him. Your name's already there. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a binding decision made by God that He will never change. Your actions cannot change the love of God. Once you receive Christ. So that's not even an issue. The issue is, what are you going to do with Christ from that point on? The issue is, are you going to live pleasing to Him or pleasing to yourself? Are you going to live pleasing to your man or are you going to live pleasing to God? That's the issue. That decision's already done. It's done for eternity. You can't change it. The only thing is, there's going to be a test at the end as how you did from the time you received Christ to the time that you face Him in eternity. That is our responsibility, to live for Christ now, regardless of whether the world hates Him or anybody else does or what your neighbors are like or anything else. You decide to love somebody, you love them regardless. You want to know why sometimes there could be a person on death row that maybe murdered 50 people and the mother still loves him. You say, what's wrong with that woman? She made a decision to love him regardless of what he did. I didn't say what he did was right. I just said she made a decision to love him. God has made a decision to love you. What are you going to do with it? You going to keep saying no to him? Or are you going to come to him, make a decision, become part of him, live this life filled with the things of God? Now, so agape love is different from man's love. It's not an emotional love. It can have emotion in it, but it's not based on emotions. And it's not based on whether you do right or whether you do wrong. God wants you to do right. He doesn't want his kids to do wrong and pay the consequences of it. The mother doesn't want her son to murder somebody or get on drugs or anything else. But if he does get on him, she's still going to love him. It doesn't mean that she has to live with him and live with that stuff, but she's still going to love him. And I'm telling you, God does the same thing. Now, it doesn't mean, but obviously there's consequences of sin. I don't care if you're a Christian or a lost person. But sin has nothing to do with somebody going to hell. The issue of going to hell is rejecting the love of God. You see what I'm saying? We concentrate on the wrong thing. We concentrate on whether we're doing right or wrong. We ought to be concentrating on our love relationship to Jesus Christ. That's the issue. And it's not a matter, oh my goodness, I did this terrible thing. Confess it and move on. Hadn't changed God. You can't do anything to change God. Boy, quiet in here. 1 John 4:19. You know, this is not an excuse to do bad things. This is a reason to do good things. That's what this is. You got to get these things settled in your mind. 1 John 4:19. 1 John, not John. 1 John 4:19. And here's what it says. This is the same kind of love. It says, if we love him, we love him because he first loved us. This tells us that God loved us when we were doing wrong, when we were messing up, when we didn't care about him, when we were doing everything in the book you could possibly think of that made us ashamed and made us of all this stuff. And it says that we love him because he first loved us. And your sin didn't change God. When you came to him, he received you because he first loved you. He didn't go look at all the sin you'd committed. You paid consequences for that junk and may still be doing it. But the issue is it didn't change God one ounce. If God was working on emotional love, he would have never come to you in the first place. Or me. Let's get this right now. Your sin didn't affect God before you got saved and it won't affect God after you get saved. What it's going to do is affect your life. The problem with a lot of us is we're sin conscious instead of God conscious. And who and what he is. And who and what we can be if we cooperate with the Spirit of God. God is not like us in that respect. Somebody does something to us, we may hold a grudge the rest of our life. I got news for you, God does not. Are you listening? God does not hold grudges. Yet we live like he does. He does not hold grudges. Somebody said, well, I don't believe this stuff. Well, if you're doing so good without it, keep on moving. How's what you're doing working for you? Depressed? Messed up? Living in shame? All this kind of stuff. God says, you come to me and confess that I wash you so clean, you'll be so sparkling white, you'll blind the angels. Are you listening to me? God knows how to do it. The angels will have to wear sunglasses, you look so good, when He cleans you up. He can clean you up totally and prepare you for the Christian life. Well, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. All right. I got at least one more Sunday, right? Is that what you're telling me? I hope so. All right. We got to start loving like God does. He said, love your neighbor yourself. You love them because God loves them. You love them because you don't love them because they do. They might be the biggest mess in the history of the world. They may drive you absolutely crazy. But I'm going to tell you, God loves them. I didn't say they're going to heaven. I said God loves them. Jesus died for them on the cross. I didn't say they were going to heaven. But I said Jesus died for them on the cross. I believe He died for everybody. But the only ones that go to heaven are the ones that come to Him. I don't believe in limited atonement. Some people believe that Jesus only died for those that are saved. I don't believe that. I believe the Bible says He died for everybody. But are everybody saved? No, they're not. It's the ones that make a decision to come to Jesus Christ and live for Him. How many churches today do you think this would go over big in Rockford today? Probably not too many. I don't know how it's going now. But this is what the Word of God says. Okay? I stake my life on it. I'm not telling you something just because I read it someplace. I'm staking my life on what I'm telling you is true. I'm staking my eternal life on what is true. Amen. Amen. There you go. Right there, you see. And we have to understand God does everything by love. Now, God doesn't hate our guts. We look at what we've done in our life, and we might hate our guts, but I'm going to tell you, God doesn't. But you aren't supposed to hate your guts. You're supposed to love yourself according to the Word of God. But not what you're doing if it's wrong. I'm not condoning sin in any way, shape, or form. But the issue that puts people in hell is not sin. With an S. Sins. That's not the issue. The issue is, what are you going to do with the Son of God that came on Calvary and shed His blood on the cross and was put into the grave and rose again on the third day and is coming to receive all of those that love Him? That's the issue. You see. And I'll tell you, there's time I get tired and I want to quit. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to quit as long as I can do it. I'm going to talk about what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. And this is it. This is the main issue that what I'm preaching on today. This is the issue. Christ, the Son of the living God. There is no other. I don't care how sincere somebody is. I don't care how sincere their parents were, their grandparents, or anybody else. If they're worshiping anything other than Jesus Christ, they will go into eternal hell if they do not come to Christ and make a decision. That is a fact. God God just waiting to whitewash you white as snow. God is just waiting up there. He waits on our decision. He waits for us to come to Him. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live separated from God. You can come to Him if you're a Christian. You don't have to tiptoe around just hoping God doesn't drop the next shoe or some dumb thing like that. The issue is that you can come to Him, confess your sin, He'll clean you up. That's it. You see. And I'll tell you, He had a lot of cleaning to do on me. Probably wore out those cleaning angels. They probably said, God, do we really have to do this? Probably wore them out. Probably clogged up the drain when He was washing all the dirt off of me when I got saved. And I'm not bragging, but I tell you this, I am thrilled that God loved me. When I didn't give Him the time of day, probably used His name in vain, did all that stuff, broke every law, God was just waiting for that day in 1970. That little Baptist church had an old preacher from Texas just loved to talk about Jesus. That's the love of God. You see. I think it's time for me to quit here. I just got started. Well, God's love is not an emotional love. It's a willful decision. He chose you. That's what you have to... He didn't look at what you were doing, what you weren't doing, what you might be doing, or what you could do. He looked at what He could do in you. He looked at what, as His creation, as His, He wants to look at you as representing Him on this earth. Being an ambassador of Christ, that's what He looked at. Once you look in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to close with this. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. All I can say is don't wait. Don't wait to come to Christ. You said, I made a decision 20 years ago. Well, come now and reaffirm that decision and get cleaned up for God. That's the issue. I'm not interested in what you did 20 years ago. I'm interested in what God's doing now in your life and what you're letting Him do. 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Does not seeks not its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Love, true love, the God kind of love, verse 8, never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there should be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But love never fails. How many did Jesus Christ lose? I said, how many did Jesus Christ lose? Because love never fails. That's why. Those disciples couldn't have done anything to be lost. Because they messed up. Peter denied Him 3 times. The rest of them took off and run when they arrested Him. Most of them. Did God deny him? No, He didn't. He said, Peter, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, you're going to deny me three times, but I still love you. Peter said, oh, not me, Lord. Rest of them might. No way. Well, he did. And he went out and he wept. But Jesus didn't give up because Jesus came to him. And Peter come running, and I'm sure he confessed all of that stuff. And God said, okay, now go feed my sheep. You denied me three times. I cleaned you up. Now go feed my sheep. I'm here to tell you God has cleaned you up at salvation. When you can get cleaned up of anything that you confess to Him and move on and feed the sheep of God. That's what He wants you and I to do. If you listen to our radio station this week, you heard James Kennedy tell an interesting story about an old lamplighter. Now, most of us wouldn't know a lamplighter if we saw one. But it used to be a long time ago, before my time, the streets of the cities were lit by gas lamps. And a lamplighter would come along, and he would light a lamp, and he would light the next lamp, and he would light the next lamp, and he would light the next lamp, and in the morning they would put those lamps out. But anyway, he would light those lamps one at a time, just going down the street. They were called lamplighters. And Kennedy said that the guy was watching this lamplighter, and he said, I knew where he was by the lamps he had lit. Now listen to me. I knew where he was by the lamps he has lit. And I'm telling you, God knows where we are by the lives we have lit up for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we are. The lives we have lit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand before the Lord.